Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Eduardo Santiago, and I'm on with George Snyder.
Hello.
Hi, George. How are you?
Eduardo, I haven't seen you since Idlewild.
I know, since the Idlewild author series.
That's right.
That was fun. Hey, this is, I think, the second time that you're going to be on a panel, that we're going to be on a panel together at the West Hollywood Book Fair.
It is indeed. We had fun on the first one.
We did. No, nobody got hurt. Yeah, and that one was on self-publishing, because even just a year ago, there was a lot of curiosity about this whole self-publishing business, and it's something that you actually knew a lot more than everybody else on the panel about, because you have self-published two novels at this point.
That's right. Actually, there was a lot of prejudice and a lot of misinformation a couple years ago. I mean, you, as you know, well know, the first book was on Wings of Affection, and the second one shortly thereafter was Down the Garden Path, both available on Amazon.com.
And both books that I loved, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever told you that before.
Well, you haven't, but I pretended you did.
Well, I thought it. I just, you know, haven't mentioned it.
Now, your first book was not self-published. Your first
book
was Little Brown.
No, my book went down the traditional publishing path of being approached by an agent and then getting it to Little Brown and Company and then buying it and publishing it and putting it out in bookstores. But I'm still really jealous of you, because that's the only book I got to publish. Tomorrow They Will Kiss.
Tomorrow They Will Kiss. And didn't you get it translated into Russian?
It was translated into Russian, and it was also translated into Italian. And you know, the novel is about Cubans in exile in America after the revolution. And yet it's never been published in Spanish.
It's so unfair. It needs to be in Spanish.
Well, you know, that's the thing about traditional publishing, is that you really have very little control about what happens to your work, which is the reason that my next novel, Midnight Rumba, is going to be published by me.
I love that title. I love the title.
You love the title because you helped me come up with it.
When we were going to the gym, when we were working out at our club.
Yes, when we were gym partners.
When we were working out more at our
We were working out more than we are now, because, you know, now we're busy writing.
Well, and you've been traveling.
I have.
You were just in Ohio.
I was in Cincinnati.
Oh.
For a week.
Oh. And then
it was beautiful. Oh, you know, it was so beautiful, because we usually go for the holidays when it's cold and the trees are bare. And, you know, that has its charm, especially if you're from L.A. But going at this time of the year, it was so beautiful. I mean, just everything was still green, but the temperatures were, you know, not so high. So I really enjoyed it.
Southern Ohio is so different. I'm from Northern Ohio, and, of course, it's usually snowing there. And it's so different, so different. My book two, into the Down the Garden Path, is takes place in Ohio, Northern Ohio.
Yes, it does. I remember that very specifically.
And then you're on a cruise.
Well, I'm leaving on a cruise on Sunday. And it's just, you know, sometimes people do say that I lead a charmed life, and sometimes I have to agree with them.
You do?
That, my friend's wife couldn't go on the cruise, so he's taking me instead. Because,
Can you write on the cruise?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm actually looking forward to it, because I just lock myself up in my little cabin and I write. And I'm in the middle of revising my book now for publishing. So I'm really looking forward to writing at sea. I have a romantic notion of, you know, writing at sea. It's not the first time I worked on this book while on a cruise.
I think it's very romantic, but I also think it's been Alan Payton, who wrote Cry the Beloved Country, he wrote everything he wrote, and he didn't write a whole lot, but everything he wrote was done in motel rooms. He used to go and he would book a motel room and write.
Well,
I think yours sounds
really
much nicer.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. You know, because when your head gets, you know, to that point where you've been writing and you're a little, you know, you get writer's brain.
Oh, God, I know.
You can just go off to deck and look at the sea. You know, it's very calming to look at the horizon for me. So, hey, you know, what's really what I was thinking about earlier is that we're going to be this panel that we're doing on Sunday.
Sunday the 30th.
Sunday the 30th.
September
1:30 at the West Hollywood Book Fair. is the a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender panel. And, you know, I'm really honored to be on the panel. And I'm an out gay man, not a problem. But I was wondering how some writers are considered gay writers. And some writers, even if they write gay fiction or gay nonfiction, that doesn't seem to be, you know, they wouldn't be on this panel. And I was thinking specifically of someone whose book I loved, Julia Glass. She wrote Three Junes, which won the National Book Award in 2002. And, you know, there's a fascinating gay protagonist in that novel, but, you know, you would never think, oh, Julia Glass, gay author. And then there's Augustine Burroughs, who is a gay author.
So gay.
So incredibly gay. And yet, nobody thinks, oh, Augustine Burroughs, gay author. They just think, oh, Augustine Burroughs, best-selling author.
Yeah.
So I think that the difference between a gay author and a non-gay author is how many books they've sold.
But, you know, there's something more. Thousand years ago when I lived in New York, I worked at a Different Light bookstore, which is now gone. And I worked for Norman Lorella. And there was a Different Light, and then across town, a little across the village, was Three Lives. And Three Lives bookstore was three gals and had a gay sensibility. And then there was Different Light, which was literally out gay writers writing gay-themed material. But Three Lives would have things like books by Iris Murdoch, who have gay characters, and Barbara Pym, and a lot of the English lady novelists, all those that have gay characters, but the novelists themselves weren't gay. But it was a sensibility. And I think that's the difference. You have Three Junes, you have gay characters, you have a sensitive portrayal, and then you had the Different Light, or we used to call it Harsh Light because the lighting was so unrelenting. And you had Ruby Fruit Jungle. This is how long ago it was, you know, or James Purdy,
right.
Edmund White, but it, and then a lot of NAMBLA material. So, I mean, you had
Well, the thing is that back in those days, back to the time that you were talking about, you know, like last century.
Well, when the earth was still cooling.
Yeah, it was still, it was warm to the touch.
Yeah.
you know, gay books were not always to be found on the shelves of the average bookstore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, a lot of people wrote under pseudonyms and things like that. So there was a whole different kind of situation going on there. But in this day and age, I was wondering, why do we even need a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender panel? You know, why can't it just be Eduardo Santiago and George Snyder and Noella Lumet and Kurgan Edwards?
Stout.
You know,
talking about their books.
Whose
debut novel, by the way, is described as stunning. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to meeting him. I haven't met him.
I know.
Noel,
I'm looking forward to meeting him, too. Yeah, we know Noel really well.
I don't think you can have enough.
Moderator.
And I don't think you can have enough stunning on a panel ever. I just don't think you can have too much.
No, I'm looking forward to meeting
him, too. We're pushing the
envelope. Yeah, we really are. Too much stunning might be a little too much. But I think it's going to be really fun. The West Hollywood Book Fair is one of my favorite book fairs, and I have been to book fairs all over the place. I was at the Miami International Book Fair in 2006, which is the year my novel came out. And guess who else had a book out that year?
Who?
Barack Obama. So he was at the book fair. And the only regret I have is that I didn't get a picture. But he was, you know, he was under a tent. He was under a tent like everybody else.
You didn't get a tent, honey,
you know?
Did you? You didn't get a tent.
I was in a tent.
Oh, you did? Okay. Now, is that
I had my own tent.
Did you and I go then?
I had a tent.
Did you and I go then?
No, you were not there. No,
well,
you were not there.
We were in Miami together, though.
We were in Miami together a couple of years later.
You gave my sister-in-law her copy of Tomorrow They Will Kiss.
An autographed copy.
She still cherishes it.
Oh, well, I cherish that she cherish.
She puts mine in brown paper wrappers, but yours she keeps up.
Well, my novel doesn't have any gay characters in it. It's not a gay novel.
It's
and
very
yet,
gay.
I'm a
and
gay writer.
Way.
It has what you said earlier. It has a gay sensibility.
It has a sensibility. But don't you think that it's the reason we do this panel is it's always going to be a reinventing. It's always going to be a reevaluating where we stand. I mean, somebody from Frontiers,
yeah.
I think it was Frontiers Magazine, they said, you know, no, it was the Advocate editor who was said, eventually we'll be, we won't need a gay magazine. You know, we'll be assimilated and part of the mainstream. But
yeah, I mean, that would be like saying that Vanity Fair is a gay magazine.
Well, it is. Did you read the latest
or the
issue?
Nation, you know,
or the Nation.
So
yeah.
Did I read what?
Oh, the recent issue with Katie on the cover.
All right, so I have an issue with that. Yes,
okay,
I read
what?
It. Well, Katie's on the cover. It's all about her marriage to the Scientology situation and all that.
Right, right, right.
Not one quote from her.
No.
Nothing. I mean, I don't even know what that article was about. I think it was the most non-issue-oriented, you know, article I have ever read about a topic.
Well, it was very safe.
I was very disappointed. I was furious.
It was very safe.
If it
you
wasn't
know, Rupert,
so heavy, I would have thrown it across the room.
Rupert Everett.
But we haven't been working out. We got
to
work out.
We have to work out more.
Again,
so throw
so
Vanity
throw
Fair.
Things. Yeah.
Rupert
so.
Everett's new memoir has come out, and they said one of the things that makes it so much fun is that he doesn't care anymore. He can be mean about people, and he can name names. And they said, you know, too many times now, people are so being so careful because these big celebrities, you want them to agree to do another mm-hmm. interview. And I had a sense that there was this, we daren't go too far or they won't agree to do interviews with us anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
Rupert
so,
has nothing, you know, nothing. They can't, you know, he can say anything he wants.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to be mean, but
no.
I read his first book, Hello, Darling, Are You Working?
Darling,
it
are you
was
working?
Terrible.
I adored it. I couldn't
it
put
it
down.
It was one of the worst things I've ever read.
I couldn't put it down. He was. I still have my copy.
Really?
I read it
I
a lot.
I threw mine.
You've got to stop throwing books, Edward.
I got to stop throwing books that don't please me.
Stop.
I know. There's no pleasing me.
But I think that's the whole cult of celebrity, which is a little bit about what I like to write about. And I Into Deeper Water, which is the third book, which I hoped against hope would be ready for the book fair, but it's not. I'm still working on the editor's notes, and I have a very fine editor, your boyfriend.
Yeah, so Mark, my boyfriend, took a crack at editing your book, and I think it's the first time you actually used an editor. And we're very which is very exciting. And I got him to sneak me a few pages. So I actually read the first 5 pages of your new book. I hope you don't mind.
Oh my God. Did you
but
hate it?
George, it's amazing.
Oh, you're
it's
very
amazing
kind.
What you can do in the first 5 pages, because for me the first 5 pages of writing any book are the toughest. You know,
well,
once
they're
the
usually
first five
the only
pages,
ones they'll read.
Exactly. You know, if people don't like your first 5 pages, they throw your book against the wall.
Especially if they've
and
been working out with you.
Especially if I'm around. I encourage it. I encourage that kind of behavior. So I thought it was so great that you have so much to do in those first 5 pages, and you do it so beautifully.
Oh, well, you're very
You have to set up the previous two books. You have to set up the continuing characters, and then you have to bring in the topic of the new book. And let me tell you, he only gave me 5 pages. So I have to wait till the rest of the book comes out, but I can't wait to finish it.
Well, his notes and his editing were superb. I have apparently a big problem with hyphens and capital letters. Did you know that Talati?
He's a really good editor because he's anal retentive.
Oh, well, yeah.
And also, he's a grammarian. I mean, he knows
he
grammar.
Stuff.
I mean,
he
can diagram a sentence, which is something I've never been able to do.
Hot.
He catches typos on billboards while we're driving. Or
so
incorrect grammar, So.
Well, he was wonderful, and his notes are good. And, yes, I am finally taking a little time and care. But it's fascinating.
Well, you know why? Because
process.
I think this is your book. This is the book that's going to get you the National Book Award something equally amazing.
And it's also what self-publishing is about. This is about welcome to my world, Well, of course, you live with an editor, so you're ahead of the game. But it's about doing all the work yourself. It also learned you. You know, I really do feel like Virginia Woolf in the basement with her little press. You know, the Hogarth press, cranking out my little novels and keeping myself from going mad.
Yeah,
didn't work for her, but
I have keep the rocks out of your pocket, but.
Here's the thing
about Little Brown and having had that traditional publishing experience, is they did provide me with an editor.
Yeah.
That was incredibly helpful. Although, you know what? All right, the book's been out for 6 years.
You can still get it on Amazon, right?
You can still get it on Amazon.
Okay.
And, it's still
Tomorrow
the
They Will Kiss.
6 years ago. Yes,
yeah.
But I got an email. And somebody said, I just read your novel. I loved it.
Aww.
But on page 43, this thing happens that didn't make any sense to me. And, of course, I broke out in a cold sweat.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing about the, it used to be in the olden days that you had to write a letter, put a stamp on it. You had to find the writer's address or send it to his publisher and hope that the letter would get to them. And now they just pop an email and
they go straight to your blog.
And your day is ruined.
They go straight to your website. Now, we should do that for our listeners. You're posting information about the book fair on your website, EduardoSantiago.com. Okay.
Yes.
And I have information on my books and upcoming events on GeorgeSnyder.org. Because I'm a nonprofit.
Yeah, you're a non-org. That sounds a little
taken.
Bit like
don't go to .com. He's not very happy with the fact that he's got competition. But I'm George Snyder, SNYDER.org, and you're EduardoSantiago.com. But you'll have information about that. And how to get your book, honey.
Yeah.
Because I got a letter. A guy said, I'm in Vancouver, but I don't want to go to bed without sending you a message to tell you I just finished your book. And I have a few notes.
No, those letters are nice. I love hearing from my readers. And I always write back.
Yes. Yes.
It's nice to have that because, we're just sitting in some room somewhere, well, for me, in a cabin on a cruise liner, writing these books, and it's nice to hear back.
Yeah,
especially if they liked it. I've never received a nasty letter. I've never received a letter that said, "Stop writing."
I had a horrible. I didn't get anybody to write. It didn't occur to me to get people to write reviews for me on Amazon, and so I did get a really mean one, and I was upset. But I noticed today.
I remember that. You were very upset by that. Yeah.
Well, I was a little bit. And then I saw today on Yelp, somebody has posted reviews of museums and the review of the Louvre. Worst experience ever. 1 star for the Louvre in Paris. So I said, you know what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People do,
so it's all
people
relative.
Just, Yeah, it's all relative. Well, I think the world is doomed when, you know, the Louvre is getting one star. But still, it's nice.
Yeah.
Ultimately, writing is a lonely act, and you are doing it to communicate. So it is nice to be doing this. Even though,
yeah,
are you across the street or are you up? Are you in Idlewild or?
No, I'm across the street.
Okay.
And
well,
actually, we just walked by your office because we went to the Thai restaurant for lunch. We went to Galanga. It's so odd to be there without you.
I ran to Astro, and then
you
returned
did?
to my undisclosed my undisclosed secure location here.
Yeah, I'm so used to going to the Thai restaurant with you that, in your honor, I ordered twice as much food and ate it.
I love West Hollywood.
West Hollywood is
the
best. And the West Hollywood Book Fair, as I was saying earlier, is one of my favorites. It's at West Hollywood Park.
Yes.
It starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday the 30th. And there's going to be hundreds of panels and lots of interesting writers present. And we are going to be two of them at 1:30.
Well, and a cute crowd. I had people here from...
In the Fiction Pavilion.
Yes. I had people here last year from out of the country, and they had a great time just sort of wandering around.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, there's beautiful people, beautiful books, a beautiful time will be had by all. And I'm going to be happy to see you. Now, the ship lands, docks?
They dock. It docks at 9:30 in the morning. I get in my car. I drive to the West Hollywood Book Fair, and I'll see you there. I'll be the one in the life vest.
The one with
the
Lucitania.
Well, George, it's been so much fun chatting with you.
It's been
fun, and thank you to all the listeners for tuning in or logging in. What is it that people do?
Well, they'll pass it on. They'll pass this link on to your friends.
Pass it on and come see us. Come visit with us at the West Hollywood Book Fair on Sunday the 30th.
We'll see you at the fair.
See you at the fair, George.
See you, Eduardo.
Bye.